Do you know that there is only one God in three eternal persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Do you know that Jesus said He is the only way to heaven, and His death and resurrection bring forgiveness of sins to all who believe? Welcome to the Pastor Study, a ministry of pastorstudy.org. Join us now as we study God's Word, the Bible, together.
Welcome to the Pastor Study. We get a lot of letters and emails from our viewers of people who are suffering. And so I thought we would do a show with two topics today. What do you do if you're going through intense suffering? And then secondary, world missions. What is God doing in world missions today? So I want to introduce a friend of mine, Pastor Tom Steller. Thanks for coming, Tom.
It's a joy to be here.
Tom, it's kind of amazing that Tom is here because he's gone through 2 years of rather intense suffering. He's also a missionary in Cameroon, Africa. So we're going to hit those two topics. Let's start out by talking about suffering. And Tom, before we begin, we always like to pray. So, Lord God, we want to pray for anyone suffering out there today, that you just grant them some comfort and peace, and speak through Tom and speak to us now about suffering and then about world missions. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, before we get to your 2 years of suffering that you've gone through, in a nutshell, how did you become a Christian?
Well, I grew up in a religious home, and I was an altar boy and learned all the right things to do, but it was not in my heart. And then I went through 3 years of rebellion, and I was a hippie wannabe, and got involved in drugs and alcohol. But my oldest sister came to Christ, and she shared the gospel with me, and so on. I was almost 17, I became a Christian, and turned my life around.
Okay. Was that in high school?
It was in high school, yep.
Okay.
It was in high school.
And then, all right, so then Tom, that's how you became a Christian. You've been a pastor for many years now at Bethlehem Baptist Church, and now you just do missionary work in Cameroon. But first, let's talk about the suffering for people that need some wisdom on how to do this. For 2 years, tell us what you've been going through.
Yeah, I was in Cameroon, East Africa, West Africa, and while I was there, I started feeling really sick. Came home, thought I picked up a parasite. Went to the doctor's office, and he checked me over and did a test on me that he normally wouldn't have done. And it turned out that there was something amiss with my pancreas. And so I got checked out, and they said my pancreas was a mess, and that I needed surgery.
Was this cancer?
At that point, he said, I don't think it's cancer, but it's precancerous.
Okay.
So they decided to go in and take my pancreas out, or at least part of it, but they would make an audible call whether they're going to take the whole thing out. And they ended up taking the whole thing out, and then they examined the pancreas and found out I did have pancreatic cancer.
And am I wrong? Don't most people that have that die?
Yeah, pancreatic cancer, the reason it's aggressive, it's fast spreading, but normally you don't find out about it until you're at stage 3 or stage 4 because there's no symptoms.
Did you find out early?
So the fact that I had this stomach problem, and it was just a blessing.
Oh, yeah.
Because when they found out the cancer, they took it out, and they tried to seal everything off so it didn't spread, and they hoped they had it all. They said I was a stage 1A cancer.
So did they get it all?
And as far as we know, they got it all.
Now, don't you have treatments after this?
Yep, but they said, well, in case some of these little cancer cell critters snuck out, we're going to do some chemotherapy.
And is that done?
That's done.
So 2 years it took.
Yep.
How painful was it?
It was at times it was really painful. I got infections and had to do some follow-up tests that were no fun and different procedures that weren't fun. But okay. It's amazing they took good care of me.
So here's my question.
Okay.
A few years ago, I had COVID for 18 days. I was so sick. For about 4 nights, I prayed, Lord, please, can I die? And he didn't take me up, obviously. But is it, if somebody's watching this show and they're really going through pain, is it wrong to ask God to take you home?
That's a great question. And I asked myself that at different times. And I was comforted by Philippians chapter 1, you know, where Paul was in prison, and that was miserable, and headed for trial, and if he was found guilty of whatever, he would have had his head chopped off. And so that was pretty miserable. And he said, I'm on the horns of dilemma. I don't know which to choose, you know, to live as Christ, to die as gain. And if he were to die, he would die and depart and be with Christ. He said, for that is very much better.
Yeah.
But he decided that if I'm going to have more fruitful labor, I will choose to stay.
Okay.
And so...
That's a good verse for people.
Yeah, I think so. So I don't think it's wrong to say, I want to go and be with Jesus.
Yeah, and some of the prophets said, Lord, help. Take me home.
That's right. Yep.
Now... I remember somebody saying to me once, Pastor Brock, what sin is God punishing me for making me so sick? Mm-hmm. How would you answer that question?
Yeah, I wouldn't go there.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's always good to say, Lord, search me, O Lord, and know my heart and see if there's a wicked way in me and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
So we do that whether we're healthy or sick.
Yep.
But I didn't have a theology that said, well, if I do a certain number of bad deeds, I'll get a certain level of suffering in this world.
Yeah.
Jesus is so clear that in the world you will have trouble. Be of good cheer, I have conquered the world. Or says in the Sermon on the Mount, don't be anxious about tomorrow. Tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And Paul says in Acts, you know, through many tribulations we'll enter the kingdom.
That's right.
So there's just, we're just promised suffering.
Yeah, we are. And the disciples say, Jesus, who sinned? This man or his parents that
exactly.
He was born blind? Jesus says, nobody sinned. Yeah. This is for the glory of God.
That's right.
So often we're sick, and it's not because we did a specific sin. On the other hand, if I get drunk tonight, I can wake up with a hangover the next morning.
Yeah.
Or if I'm promiscuous, I can end up with herpes. Sometime there's a connection.
Absolutely.
But overall, people don't, you don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you get mad at God going through all this?
You know, I really didn't. You know, I think part of it was because by God's grace, I was taught well about suffering. And that helped me. I said, who am I to think that I should avoid all suffering in this world.
Yeah.
You know, because deep down inside, you kind of think, I'm one of those people, I'm not going to suffer. I'll just help other people in their suffering. I'm a pastor. But when it happened to me, I said, I'm not surprised. And God's going to help me.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound too saintly. I mean, I struggled and all of that. But God really helped me.
I had a secretary in her old age say to me, dear Christian woman, Tom, I used to say, God, why me? Now I'm saying, why not me?
Yeah.
Who am I, you know, to get out of suffering?
Yeah.
All right. So,
and maybe one thing I could add is, you know, as I'm suffering, when I first recovered from my surgery, laying in my hospital bed, miserable, it was right when Gaza was being bombed and so forth, and they had all the tunnels underneath the hospitals, and so you saw these sad pictures of the hospitals that were such poor shape to begin with, and now these people had nothing. And I thought, I looked around the room, my hospital, and I had every technology
Thank
in there.
You,
I had
Lord.
Five doctors visiting me. And,
oh my!
You know, and so there's a lot to be thankful for.
Oh, no kidding. Okay. One thing we're told to do when we're suffering is James chapter 5, call for the elders of the church, let them anoint him or her with oil and pray, and the prayer of faith will save the sick man. Did you get the anointing with oil when you went through all this?
Yeah, the elders came over to my house, and they brought the oil. We don't think there's anything magical about the oil, but it's just obeying Scripture.
Yeah.
And had the sweetest time of prayer with tears and anointing of oil, and it was fantastic.
Right. And so I encourage people, if you're going through illness and you've never done James chapter 5, call your pastor. Pastor, can you get the elders out here to pray for me, or can we do it after church some Sunday, whatever? Because it's the one thing we're told to do.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, here's the biggest question of the half hour. If you had to identify maybe two things that the Lord taught you through all of this, what would you say?
There are three things.
Okay, a 3-point sermon. Go ahead, Tom.
No, obviously it was a very emotional time. It was so easy for me to weep when I saw the news on TV or different kinds of things, and but a lot of times I said, "What's this weeping about?" Because for me it wasn't depression, although that can happen very understandably. I wouldn't condemn anybody if that's what they're struggling with.
Mm-hmm.
There are really three things that explained the emotions that were happening in my heart. The first one was I had this overwhelming sense of thanksgiving and thankful that my cancer was caught so early, thankful that I had all this medical resources. I live within walking distance of 5 world-class hospitals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was thankful for that. I was thankful for my doctors, and the nurses were so compassionate. But I was thankful, too, that I knew that it wasn't ultimately them. It was the Lord.
Yes.
It was the Lord that would raise me up. So thanksgiving was very, very real to me.
Mm-hmm.
The next, as I was discerning what was going on in my heart, the next thing that really hit me hard was there was this assurance. Part of what I was thankful for, I had assurance.
And, assurance of what?
Well, I asked myself the question, okay, here I am, you know, I could still die, I mean, and this cancer can come back and all of this kind of stuff, and I felt like dying, and so I said, okay, Tom, I'm a Pastor Tom, just like you are.
Yep.
Okay, Pastor Tom, you've preached all this for 50 years. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it?
Oh, my.
Do you really believe that Jesus lived and that he died on the cross for my sins and that he rose again from the dead? He's reigning supreme at the Father's right hand, and he's going to come back again and usher in a new heaven and new earth and so forth. Do I really believe that? And I said, I do.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. And not that... Again, a lot of times people have doubts, but for some reason I was spared that.
And
I said, I really believe
you
this.
Knew where you were going if you went.
I really believe that.
Yeah.
And then that assurance led to the third thing, which was hope. And my hope wasn't in that I was going to recover. I wanted to, because I felt like there's more fruitful labor for me to be involved, and I wanted to live, but to depart and be with Christ, that's even better.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jesus died and rose again, it means that I am going to rise.
Mm-hmm.
And it means that there is going to be a new heavens and new earth.
So there's a hope.
There's a hope, and there will be no more suffering, no more pain, no more tears. That's coming.
Yeah.
And so I thought, that was a precious time.
So Thanksgiving, assurance of your salvation,
mm-hmm.
and the third one was hope.
Right.
Okay. And I know you're a big believer in what's called the sovereignty of God,
mm-hmm.
that God's in control of everything, absolutely. Even the details of our life, even our sufferings.
That's right.
How did you put that together with this?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, where would I be if I didn't believe that way?
Yeah,
if I believed that this was just some accident,
chance. Yeah,
that would not give me hope.
No, it would not.
If I believed, I mean, I think Satan's always involved trying to test us and undermine our faith and so forth, but if he was sovereign over my sickness, that would be of all things most miserable.
Yeah.
And the only choice left was God is sovereign.
Yeah.
And he promises that he works all things together for
my good. Romans 8:28.
That's right. And so many texts. that you could go to.
And so many, some preachers on TV will, all sickness is of the devil.
Right.
Well, Satan can have a hand in
right.
it, but ultimately God controls the devil,
yeah.
Job chapters 1,
That's
2, and
right.
3. I don't want the devil in control of the
yeah.
universe. I
That's
want
right.
God ruling
That's
it for
right.
our good.
That's exactly
good, Tom.
Right.
Well, good. You know, just we're going to switch gears now and talk about world missions and maybe you're supposed to be a missionary or supposed to be involved in world missions in some way. But before we switch gears, Tom, would you just, somebody mm-hmm. at that camera mm-hmm. is suffering. What would you say to someone who's suffering? And then pray for them, would you?
Let's pray together. My prayer for you is that you will find your hope in Christ alone during whatever suffering you're in. And some suffering is lighter. Some suffering is so heavy. And you think of the Apostle Paul, and he said, "From this momentary affliction is producing eternal weight of glory." And his affliction wasn't momentary from an earthly perspective, and it wasn't light from an earthly perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But to him, compared to the eternal weight of glory, he could trust his life to him. So let me pray for you.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I thank you so much for the privilege of being able to pray for people who are going through really, really heavy, heavy times.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, you promise not to leave us or forsake us. And you promise that you are at work in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. And you are promise that all things will work together for good because of you. And so I just pray, Lord, that you would fill those who are suffering the most with a solid hope, assurance,
mm-hmm.
and thanksgiving. And Lord, that you would keep them with their hands in yours and your hand in theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Keep them safe and bring them through this time.
Yes, Lord.
And when the time comes to die and depart and be with Christ,
mm-hmm.
that there would be such a joy
mm-hmm.
at seeing you face to face forever. So bless them, Lord, and help them. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you.
Well, now let's change gears. How many years were you a pastor?
I was a pastor for 40 years.
All right. Now in your old age, I'm a little older than you,
mm-hmm.
Now you're just doing mission work in Cameroon, right?
I'm still a pastor emeritus, which
oh.
means I'm a pastor without any responsibilities.
We like that. So now your mission is overseas in, did you say Western Africa?
Yeah, Cameroon on the west coast of Africa,
okay.
right in the center of the continent.
And you go back and forth and you visit them and you train pastors, is that mm-hmm. what you do?
Yes.
And so let's just talk about missions now for the last 10 minutes.
Sure.
Maybe somebody's watching this. How do you know if God wants you to be a missionary?
Yeah, that's a great question. And for me, probably the text that helped me the most is that God is at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
That's Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
No.
That was Philippians.
Okay.
God is both at work in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And the word for will there is to desire and to do of his good pleasure. So I've been involved in missions for decades
mm-hmm.
at Bethlehem. I was missions pastor for a number of years and traveled the world visiting our missionaries. But I just had the sense, you know, I could just kind of coast into the sunset at Bethlehem. They were so good to me. They would let me just keep on working. But I thought, no, there's another chapter for me.
Amen.
And so I said, well, I feel like my gifts are in teaching and pastoring, you know, is there another place I could do that? And so
here you are in your retirement
right.
years, and you're serving over in Cameroon.
Right.
I'm in my retirement years, too. All of our volunteers, a lot of them, are in their retirement mm-hmm. years, but everybody has found something to do for the Lord.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage our viewers, too. You know, maybe prayer, a deeper prayer ministry, where
Absolutely.
You pray for the missionaries, or you start using your money for the missionaries.
I sometimes wonder if when we get to heaven and we can kind of look over our life, that that many people will find that their most fruitful, productive time of their life were their latter years.
Amen. For the kingdom.
And that might very well be because you pray more. You have more time to pray.
And you have, right? You have all your relationships.
Right.
When you're young, you don't have.
Yep.
By the time you're old, you got a lot of relationships.
That's right.
That you can. And Tom, let's get to the big question too. So anyway, you're saying, if I understand, the way you know you're a missionary is if you start having this desire to be a missionary.
Yeah. And the other thing I would say, of course, is that you should talk to leaders in your church.
See if they think you're the guy.
Yeah, I'm sensing a leading in this direction. Do you see
any, you see that in me?
So that's a very helpful part.
All right. Now, maybe the most important question of our program. What exactly is the message that missionaries preach? What's called the good news, the gospel? In a nutshell, what would you say?
Yeah. Well, where I am in Cameroon, which is true of so much of Africa, true of Asia, and true of South America, and unfortunately was even shipped out of the United States, is this whole idea of what's often called the prosperity gospel. And so one of the main things that we do over there is that we try to bring people down into the center of the gospel.
Prosperity gospel is if you believe in Christ, you'll have money, you'll be healed.
Exactly. So
it's all me, me, me.
So instead of Jesus being your ultimate treasure, he's a means to
money.
What you really want.
Right.
And so there's formulas, and if you give your money to this pastor or whatever, then you'll be blessed. And I mean,
it's
it gets very
America.
Confused.
It's all over
very,
TV.
Very confusing.
Okay, so what's the message?
So my understanding of the message is that God, there really is a God. He created me not because he needed me. He created me for his glory, that I might enjoy his glory forever. But the trouble is, I, like all of humanity, have exchanged his glory for a lie.
We sin.
And I've loved other things more than him.
Mm-hmm.
And that, if you think of it, you're offending an infinitely holy God, and that is an infinite sin deserving an infinite punishment. And God, in his righteousness, must punish sin with his wrath. But God is also a God of mercy. And he's slow to anger. He's abounding in mercy. And so he ordained a way to have my sins paid for, and the wrath that my sins deserved, he transferred over to his son who came into this world and suffered on the cross for my sins. And so the anger that I deserved was unleashed against his son, and then God vindicated him by raising him from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And now anybody who puts their trust in Jesus' sacrificial death and his resurrection as a vindication of the glory of God, can be assured that they are forgiven and they will be in heaven forever.
Amen.
And I don't have to work my way into heaven.
No, we can't.
We can't.
We're sinners.
I used to think when I was growing up, if I just was 51% good,
you're good enough.
Maybe I was good enough.
Yeah.
But now I don't have to think that way. I just say, Lord, I receive it as a gift. I receive you as a gift.
Grace.
And that's the good news.
And listen, Tom, you're a Baptist and I'm a Lutheran. I believe 100% in what you just said, and I think all Christians do, that it's only by the death of Christ and his resurrection that we are saved. And earlier, Tom was talking about having assurance when he was going through suffering that he'd go to heaven if he died. And if somebody's watching this and they don't have that assurance, how do you get that? What would you say?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think I would say, ultimately, is just to read the Bible, because the Bible is full of assurance. Sometimes the Bible is harder to understand, and we need to ask others to help us with certain verses. But read the Bible. Talk to your pastor. Talk to a relative or someone who loves the Lord and has assurance. And because usually the reason we don't have assurance is because there is an accuser of the brethren. Satan wants us to be robbed of assurance.
Mm-hmm.
And so he accuses us, saying, you haven't done it good enough. You weren't sincere enough when you asked Jesus into your life.
Or remember the sins you committed.
Yeah, he reminds you of your sins. And we just have to learn to say, Satan, be gone. You have no claim on my life. I belong to my Amen. Savior, Jesus Christ.
And you're sounding like Luther, because when Satan would accuse Luther of his sins, Luther would say, Satan, let me take you to the cross. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world and my sins. Bye-bye. You know, you just,
He threw an inkwell at the devil once.
Yeah, you could see the scar at Wartburg in Germany. But, well, good. And so you're over there fighting the prosperity gospel. Let's say that somebody is here watching this show and they want to be a missionary in their own family, because every Christian's to be a missionary. How do you bring up Christ in conversation?
Yeah.
How do you do this? Because it can get awfully touchy with certain people.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a story. It's a little bit removed from that, but this is how do you start a conversation. And some of my most fruitful years evangelistically was as a Lyft driver, an Uber driver. And I picked up a man once at 4:30 in the morning. It was dark. He was in my back seat, and I could tell he was from a different place, but I started talking to him, and I could tell he kind of knew the gospel, but kind of didn't, and so I shared the gospel with him, and then said goodbye to him. And then 2 weeks later, a friend of mine that was at shopping at Walmart said, there's a guy that's helping me at Walmart, he works at Walmart, and he says he knows you. Because he was in your Lyft car, and you talked to him about Jesus. And so I talked to him on the phone, invited him to church. He came to church. He spoke mainly French, so I found one of our French members, and he shared the gospel with him.
Yeah.
He came to Christ. He's been discipled. And that was just simple. You know, it was just a simple conversation.
There you go.
Yeah.
So just how the Lord leads.
Yeah.
You don't have to necessarily bring it up. God will bring it up.
Yeah.
And well, Tom, we're almost done here, but just we want to put on the screen here, if you would like to support Tom's work in Cameroon, we're going to put on the screen here Tom's website, tomsteller.com, or trainingleadersinternational.org. Those are two places people can go and support the ministry in Cameroon. And everybody, just if you, no matter what suffering you're going through, may the Lord just hold you close. And we're promised persecution and tribulations in this world, so why not me? But may your faith in Christ be firm through the whole thing, and when you stumble, He forgives. Amen. So, Tom, thanks so much.
Thanks, Tom.
And everybody, we'll see you next time on the Pastor Study. Go to pastorstudy.org if you want to watch this show or any show again, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for watching the Pastor Study. You can watch more of our programs at pastorstudy.org. We are on the air preaching the good news of Jesus Christ because of the generous support of you, our viewers. Would you consider supporting our ministry? You may do so at pastorstudy.org or write the Pastor Study, P.O. Box 41294, Minneapolis, Minnesota 55441. May the blessing of our one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever.